chairman here today, so I'm going to turn this microphone over to him, and we're looking forward to your sermon. Mr. Martinez.
Thank you, Mr. Rosa. Good afternoon, brethren, and I hope everyone is having a great and restful Sabbath so far. I know we are here in Puerto Rico, and pray you are too, wherever you might be. As Mr. Rosa mentioned, our weather in Puerto Rico has been fairly warm. We have been getting a lot more showers this week, which is great, because there are some parts of the island that the reservoirs are not full, and been having to cut water like one day on, one day off, and they might be talking about 48 hours on and 48 hours off in some parts of the island, so we pray that we get much more needed weather. Well, brethren, we see today that there is evidence of all sorts of things happening around the United States, as well as around the world. Every week that passes by has a new challenge, a new trial, a new kind of problem the world and us as Christians face each and every day. We are just a few short months away from the start of the fall holy days, and our world continues to grow in turmoil, in disarray, and incapable of providing a solution for anything and everything that comes up regarding the world's problems. Mankind believes that it can do anything on its own, and that it can help to make the world a better place. But instead, it seems that all that happens is that things actually get worse and worse, no matter how much time goes by. I want to start with an analogy and explain something to you that will make sense as we go along with the sermon for today. Let's take sports as an example. As you may know or have heard of already, the Olympic Games were originally scheduled to be competing during this month of July, 2020. However, due to the coronavirus epidemic happening across all nations around the planet, the Olympic Games are now postponed until July, 2021. And if that can start, they will be canceled. The amount of time an athlete takes for his her preparation is unparalleled. Men and women take years upon years to prepare and get ready for the Olympic Games, and go through some of the most difficult, grueling, and tenacious training out there. They are constantly putting their bodies on the line, and often only for a few seconds or minutes of their life. An Olympic athlete is different from any other kind of athlete because of the preparation it takes, not just for a season at a time, but for every 4 years at a time. These athletes train for hours and hours at a time and subject themselves to strict diets, nutritionist goals, and need to keep their body in the most optimal shape possible to be able to compete at the very highest level possible, and that is against all other nations around the world. In addition, these athletes have to go through an immense amount of qualifications just to earn a spot on the team roster and be able to represent their country on a team basis and be able to have a chance to attempt to earn either a bronze, silver, or gold medal. Now, what differentiates the kind of training these athletes have with others is the mentality. mentality, the mindset, and the physical exhaustion it takes on their bodies to be able to have all of this ready. Now, you might be asking yourself right now, why am I talking about the Olympic Games as a prelude to the sermon today? Well, brethren, the answer lies in the one component inside each athlete that separates them from everyone else, and that is endurance. In fact, the title for today's sermon is Endurance Through Example. Endurance through example. We will look at today's sermon with an emphasis on how our endurance as God's called out children needs to be looked at from the point of view of our spiritual and physical side as well. We live in a world filled with Satan and his demons constantly seeking to devour God's chosen few and attempt to deceive God's elect through everything that is wrong with the world today. Just like Olympic athletes train for years and years for a specific event, we too need to be training, brethren, but not for an event that is continuous, but for an event that will happen once our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, returns to this earth, and that is God's kingdom to come. As you will see throughout the sermon, the concept of endurance will be looked at through two critical and important examples of personalities in the Bible that exemplify the element of endurance through their own trials and tribulations. Today, in this first part of a two-part sermon, we will look at endurance through the example found in the Old Testament with King David as the first part. And when I speak next time, we will look at the second part in the New Testament through our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. These two examples of people in the Bible will help us look at how endurance plays a key role in our development and growth as Christians each day. Also, the topic of endurance will center on two different aspects with David, and also two different aspects concerning Jesus Christ. First, endurance through the example of David will be looked at from the point of view of how God endures forever. And secondly, how the fear of the Lord endures throughout time as well. Now, let's look at the word endurance and its background. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word endurance has three definitions. And I'm sure all of us can identify with at least one of the three. And in fact, I'm confident all of us have had to go through all of these at some point in our life. One, the ability to do something difficult for a long time. Two, the ability to deal with pain or suffering that continues for a long time. Three, the quality of continuing long time. Also, the word endurance has one meaning in the Strong's Concordance. Strong's Concordance 5281, from the Greek word hupomon, which is spelled H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E, meaning a remaining behind, a patient enduring. Now, as far as the biblical application of the word endurance, it is important to understand the context through which Scripture presents the word in itself. The endurance we will be looking at for the sermon today is not of physical nature, like running a physical race, but rather it is a spiritual race that we must endure. And our spiritual aspect of our lives is always put to the test. Every single day that we get to wake up and give thanks to God for providing us with another day of life. The spiritual race set before us is a lifelong journey, taken from our commitment to the Scriptures, mandates, and statutes that God expects us to follow in accordance with His Word. Also, the biblical application of endurance represents concepts that this world today, unfortunately, does not understand. The world set before us is losing its place throughout many of the nations today. And it is up to us, brethren, to make sure we do not lose our place throughout this part of our lives, because our place in the kingdom of God is at stake. Let's begin by looking at the first aspect with endurance today, with David's example of how God endures forever. Let's turn to the book of Psalms, and we will spend quite a bit of time, in fact, the entire sermon in the book of Psalms for this first part. Psalms chapter 9, verses 7 through 10. Psalms chapter 9, verses 7 through 10. Reading out of the King James Version, it says, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared His throne for judgment, and He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee, for Thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that seek Thee." Brother, David is presenting the importance of God being able to endure forever and ever, no matter how much time has passed since the creation of mankind. God will always provide refuge in times of need and will not forsake us. God knows and understands that our spirit will at times need to be comforted, and that in times of trouble we will need all the help we can. God is the only one that can provide us with peace, stability, and security we need to endure all that happens in our lives. Let's continue in the book of Psalms, chapter 72, verse 17. Psalms, chapter 72, verse 17. Shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Let's turn to Psalms, chapter 100, verses 1 through 5. A very short chapter, but in fact we'll be reading all five verses in it, with a powerful message of praise towards God on the part of David. Psalms chapter 100, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." The words spoken by David in his praise towards God reminds us of an important part of us as God's chosen people. And that is that everything that happens in our life, from our calling to all events that happen in our daily lives, are because God allows it to happen to us. God is in control of our lives, not ourselves, brethren. Now, we should be thankful, as these verses relate of the position we are, because we are truly a unique, set-apart people put on this earth by God, allowing it to happen with a special purpose. Our calling requires endurance, because we must show God the glory and the honor for all events that happen in our lives. We are to commend God for choosing us as his people, knowing that the endurance set before us lasts for generations to come. Let's turn just a few pages to Psalms chapter 104, verse 31. Here we will read about David reiterating what we just read. Psalms chapter 104, verse 31. It says, "The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works." Brethren, we are part of God's work that he has done in this universe. God will rejoice in his works, and that glory that David alludes to will endure forever, because God rejoices at his creation. Let's continue in Psalms. This time, just a few pages over, again, in chapter 106. Psalms, chapter 106, verses 1 through 8. It says, "Praise you, the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known." Brethren, these are truly powerful and remarkable words written by David, because it reflects the importance of God's mercy enduring forever. David also presents the case for when the Israelites left Egypt, and most of them, even after God performing the miracle on the Red Sea, preferred to be enslaved in Egypt afterwards. But even then, God saved Israel from the Egyptians, because God endures for us, brethren, at all times. In times of doubt, in times of negative things that happen in our lives, and in times of uncertainty with our lives, God endures forever. Let's not forget that. Let's turn to Psalms, chapter 119, verses 153 to 160. Psalms, chapter 119, verses 153 to 160. It says, "Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever." Let's turn back in the book of Psalms, this time chapter 111, verses 3 through 10. Psalms 111, verses 3 through 10. It says, His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endures forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meed unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He hath shown His people the power of His works, that He may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of His hands are verity and judgment, and all His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Brethren, David presents these words, as we just read, from God's Holy Scriptures, to make sure we understand what God does for us on a daily basis. We must know that God expects us to keep His commandments, and to ensure that trials and tribulations are only temporary in our lives, and not something that will consume us in spirit, because God's presence endures forever. Also, the last part of verse 10 that we just read sets the precedence for the second part of David's inspiration with God, and that is, the fear of the Lord will always endure. Let's turn to Psalms, chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. Psalms, chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. It says, The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. Brethren, David writes that we are to acknowledge the perfection of God's plan in our lives, the importance of God's laws and mandates to all of us are a critical and important part of what needs to be in our daily lives. Also, the fear of the Lord is a unique aspect, especially when it comes to endurance, because it allows us to make note of the crucial aspect of having wisdom for enduring through the fear of the Lord. Let's continue in the book of Psalms, this time, chapter 30, chapter 30, verses 5 through 12. It says, "For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I bow to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." Brethren, David presents an important part of God's plan in our lives when it comes to endurance. Even though David acknowledges God's anger, it is understood that it is only temporary. The fear of the Lord must be in our hearts, especially when it comes to the most difficult times of our lives, because it represents how strong our Christian fortitude and character is during the most challenging times possible. Also, David mentions the importance of godly fear because during our time here on earth is the time when we need to be closest to God and His ways. David mentions in these verses that there's nothing more we can do to please God once we are in the grave. Therefore, it is of most crucial importance that we do all we can do and beyond to please God by following His ways during our time on this physical earth. The fear of the Lord preserves our endurance during trying times because it allows for the development of Christian values to take place during every single step of our lives. There are incredible amounts of tribulation that take place in our lives, but we must persevere with endurance during this race set before us. Let's turn over several pages to Psalms 138. Here we will read about David relating to God what to do in times of trouble. Psalms chapter 138, verses 3 through 8. It says, "In the day when I cried, thou answered me. my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Thou, the Lord, be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Brethren, the words spoken by David in these verses should resonate with us all. In our most darkest of days, especially when it seems that anything and everything that can go wrong actually does go wrong, we need to remember where we are and where our feet are planted when it comes to our faith and endurance. Our spiritual endurance will make God protect us from our enemies. It will make us persevere with what we need to do in order to provide God with the mindset that we are set in his ways at all times. In addition, David makes an important point when he points out in the beginning part of verse 8 that the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. God will perfect each and every one in our lives. We just have to have the endurance to pursue the will of God, and he will take care of us with his helping hand. Let's conclude today's sermon by turning over to Psalms chapter 145, verses 13 through 21. Psalms chapter 145, verses 13 through 21. Kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his name.